Good morning, good evening, wherever you are, across the world and the universe. Welcome to my Quantum Living Podcast, at the intersection of science and spirituality. I'm your host, Anna Anderson. An inquisitive soul on a lifetime mission to find out how life really works. This podcast is about bringing the spiritual, metaphysical, and esoteric concepts down to the practical level, so that we can learn and apply them in our daily life to make it a little easier and raise our consciousness to the next level. Whether you are listening to this show while driving or commuting, doing chores around the house, relaxing on a couch, or flying in a spaceship across the galaxy, I hope you'll enjoy today's episode. Okay, let's begin. Hello and welcome back to Quantum Living. I hope you are intrigued by the somewhat quirky title of today's episode. Expanded consciousness from any angle is one of my favorite topics. It is also increasingly popular, effectively replacing terms such as paranormal and psychic phenomena, which is a good thing, as it reflects our growing understanding and acceptance of the extrasensory perception and experiences as being normal and a natural result of, literally, expanded consciousness. When we access for a period of time the specific frequencies of our brain that resonate with the frequencies of other realities, in other words, we enter into an altered state of consciousness, the veil separating us from those realities becomes very thin or even disappears, and we can experience ourselves as unlimited, multidimensional beings, powerful, eternal souls that we truly are. This is a fascinating and mind-stretching topic, so fasten your seatbelts, folks, as I dive into deep rabbit holes with my special guest who's got tons of experience and expertise in this field, Alan Evans. Alan Evans, MBA, is the Chief Executive Officer of the Monroe Institute, a non-profit research and teaching organization dedicated to improving people's lives through the advanced study and practice of expanded consciousness. With a BA in psychology and an MBA in marketing, Alan became a residential trainer for the Institute in 2011, then the Chief Program Officer, until she was appointed the CEO in 2021. Alan and her team continue the legacy of Robert Monroe at the Institute, offering a number of consciousness-expanding courses and programs, including meditation and out-of-body experience. You will find more information about Alan and her work on my podcast website at quantumlivingpodcast.com. Hello, Alan. Welcome to Quantum Living. It's such a pleasure to have you on my show.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation. I always love to talk about these subjects just like you do.
Oh, wonderful. So I'm sure it will be a juicy conversation.
Informative and fun.
Yes, yes. And I'd like to start our conversation, in fact, by diving right into the deep end. What is consciousness? And I know this is an impossible question to answer, but let's give it a shot. What is consciousness?
So this is a difficult question, and I'm not going to answer it, but I will say some things about it. And the reason I'm not going to answer it is because there's not any agreed idea about this, how to define it. You know, like the scientific realm has a different idea and they don't even agree. And then you've got the spiritual camp, they don't agree. And then you've got other camps, they don't agree. So it's really hard to express it from my own personal belief or describe it. But my own personal belief is that it is something outside of us. So it's not an individual. It's not a personality. It's not coming from the mind. It's something bigger. And in that bigger place, and again, this is so hard to articulate that I'm not going to go much farther than this, but the bigger place is where when we use the tools, like meditation would be a tool, the sound technology support that Bob Monroe created or invented, then we are able to tap into that place that we can experience that we are all one. So even though we're individuals stemming our expressions from consciousness, we can connect to that consciousness so that we can be bigger than ourselves. So it's really what Bob Monroe always, and something we say here at Monroe Institute, you're more than your physical body. It's the only dogma that we really ask you. We don't ask you to believe it. We ask you to consider it. We won't turn you away if you say, no, I don't believe that. But it's outside of us. It's outside of our physical body. It's outside of our mind. So I think my job with this topic is not to really define it, but to provide the tools and the support for individuals to have their own experiences and to come to some conclusions for themselves.
Absolutely, thank you. But now this begs the question. When you say that this is something outside of us, we are conscious beings, so we do have our own consciousness. And some people actually describe this duality as consciousness with a small c, which is our own individual consciousness, and the big C, which is that intelligence, if you like, in the quantum field. Would you agree with that?
I do agree. And it makes me also think about the little self and the big self, you know, the big S, the little S, total self, which some people call higher self, is the mechanism I believe that helps us tap into the big C and to bring it down to the little C.
So this is all about matching up the frequencies. As I said in my intro, we need to match the frequencies in order to access that big C and connect with it and then experience ourselves as being a part of it. Now, you talk about expanding our consciousness. What do you mean, or what does it mean from your perspective to expand our consciousness, and why would you want to do this?
So I want to start with why we would want to do it, because I think if we talk about the why first, those who haven't really delved into this type of activity might, you know, be curious and want to do it. I think primarily, at least it also from my perspective, it started with the drive for a deeper understanding of self. And that would be little s self and big S self. I believe as you step more into this, you actually become more trusting as an individual that everything is as it should be, even when it looks terrible. And so it's just a, even though I don't like what I'm seeing right now or experiencing, and it can be, you know, a horrific thing to the individual, they are better able to turn to acceptance that everything is as it should be. And it's just a, it's a beautiful space to have to, you know, to live life through, because you're going to have ups and downs, you know, the vicissitudes of life. We're not removing those no matter what we do. That's there to help us reach our highest potential, more readily move into living in a place that you're not full of fear, or, you know, living a fear-based life. Part of that goes back to that trust thing, but you can, and it doesn't mean you'll never be afraid, but it just means it's not your first reaction or tendency. Or if it is, you can shift it very quickly. This is a kind of an aside, but part of what I've recognized in me doing this work is that I have less emotions or that are petty, like jealous, being jealous. And I'll give you an example. I now, when I want something, or I think it's supposed to be mine, and I don't get it, they don't choose me. They give it to, why give it to that person? I remember in the second grade, I wanted to be the queen in the play, and I told the teacher I had the outfit, I would be perfect, and she didn't choose me, you know. But so, don't always get what you think you want. And it has helped me really pivot. So yes, I have that fleeting moment of jealousy, and then I can say, wait a minute, what's mine is mine, what's not is not. And I believe that stems from doing this work, you know, working with these expanded states of consciousness. It also allows you to have a crow's nest view of life, and that goes back to the little the higher self and the lower self, that the lower S and the capital S. So we need to be captains of our ship. We need to be in that S place a lot of times, driving, doing those things that we need to do, making choices, making decisions, taking action, dreaming, creating. But we can step into the big S and see a bigger picture. Not always, and you don't always want to be doing that, because if you're counting on all of that just to guide you every step of the way, you've really just become a puppet and you've removed your free will. So it's really just about glimpses into that crow's nest so that you can understand more about the unfolding of your purpose, of why you're here in the first place. There's a lot of, can you tell? I think there's a lot of benefits. It can be emotional healing as well. So another one is that you can step into communication with your subconscious self. Your subconscious self is directing you behind the scenes with your cultural beliefs, your feelings and directions that you don't even know are happening, because they're coming from the past, just from a deeper part of yourself that's not consciously aware. You're not consciously aware. They're driving your decisions or your actions or your responses or your triggers. So with this type of expanded awareness practice, you can make that transition from it being in the subconscious mind to the conscious mind and heal. So that's just a few.
Thank you. Now, coming back to the first part of my question, which you have actually answered, what does it mean to expand our consciousness? Which is a nice segue to my next question. What are the avenues to do this? So I've mentioned in my intro out of body experience, obviously meditation, astral projection, channeling, etc. So could you please speak to this? What are the avenues for us to actually consciously go onto the path of expanding our consciousness for all those beneficial purposes that you have mentioned?
So I'd like to answer that question through the lens of the Monroe Institute. And at the Monroe Institute, Bob Monroe introduced us to what he called focus levels. And he pretty much mapped out this place of consciousness with these different focus levels. And basically, that means they're driven, the experience of them, you have the opportunity to be driven to these different states, using different recipes of the sound technology, and experience it in a different way. And so that's how we define it. And then there's some states where this activity is more conducive, and there's some states where this one is. And for example, Focus 10 is one of the first ones you would be introduced to, and it's mind awake, body asleep. And I love this state, and Bob Monroe considered it also a foundational state. But just think about this. How many people will tell you they don't dream, they've never had an OBE, they've never had a lucid dreaming, or a lucid dream? There are a lot of people who would tell you that. Well, I say everyone's had them. It's just that we're not consciously aware that we've had them.
We
So
don't
this focus,
remember.
right, we don't remember. And so this focus 10 level is designed to help people learn how to be in these deep, very deep meditative states. I mean, Focus 10 is a lot of delta, which is body asleep. You can literally be meditating, hear someone snoring or heavy breathing, and you think, who is that? Who's in the room with me? I was in here by myself when I first started. And then you realize it's you, because your body is literally asleep and your mind is awake. And so with that training, then you are able to be more aware of these other things that you're talking about, these other avenues in to expanded awareness. So we have other focus levels. Focus 12 is when we get into more of that higher self communication, nonverbal communication. So it's coming at you. You have an opportunity to be getting information, whether it's from total self whether it's from other aspects of you, whether it's guides, if you believe in that, deceased loved ones. And then Focus 15 is another one, no, the space of no time. Now, that doesn't mean time doesn't exist. It just means that time can be experienced differently. So you might have a meditation that is 40 minutes and you think it was 5, or vice versa. It also has to do with past lives, future lives, parallel lives, present lives, you know, so you can play in that space. Then we have Focus 21, and these are the states that you would learn if you were taking like the Gateway Voyage program, which is our flagship program that Bob Monroe created. 21 is where we're saying that you can access and reach that subconscious mind. You can go beyond the you of you to and have interactions with, again, other, and if this is in your belief system, other entities, deceased loved ones, guides. So we have a framework that helps us do this. So out of body, you know, that's another one where Bob Monroe liked to use Focus 10 to initiate that for himself. In our out-of-body programs, we'll use a variety of focus levels. You know, we don't, it's not, it doesn't have to, one focus level doesn't have to contain you. So with all that being said, there are many different ways to expand your awareness, to experience things. So a lot of times I suggest to people to figure out what it is they want to start with. You know, because there's so many ways to do this. For me personally, I had this overwhelming drive when I was in my late 20s to become more psychic. So that was my path. That's how I wanted to do this. Other people who come here because they read Bob's books, they want the out-of-body experience. Other people who know about Joe McMonagle, remote viewer 001, who is our remote viewer trainer. They want remote viewing. That's their avenue. That's another way to tap into expanded awareness. So there are many ways to do it. So the beauty of my job here is that I get to just be immersed in all these different modalities and different ways for people to tap in and expand their awareness.
Lovely, thank you. And may I ask, how many levels have you gone through, or what are your favorite areas of exploration of expanded consciousness?
This is fun to talk about because at the Monroe Institute, Bob at one point used to think that 49, focus level 49, was the highest we could go and remain human. Now, there's a lot of us don't agree with that now because of our own personal experiences, our own journeys. But here at the Monroe Institute, that tells you, that gives you a hint that the highest focus level is 49. I have experienced some of the focus levels in the 40s. Now, when I said highest, I also want to caution anyone who gets interested in this material, don't think that one is better than the other. It's just a different purpose. Bob was trying to label it in a way that wouldn't take it off into woo-woo land. He used numerical number, you know, the numerical system, which made it have a hierarchical appearance. That's just not the case. It really is about what you're wanting to experience. And so when you get in the 40s, that's when you're dealing more with the cosmos and, you know, being having that universal travel, you know, where you're outside of the Earth atmosphere. And then my favorite is Focus 27. And I think you will have a lot of people tell you that, it, you know, if you were just randomly asking people who've experienced these different places, and we call it the park. And it very much has a structure to it for a lot of people, especially people who perceive visually. Now, I don't perceive visually, but I have the experience of knowing that there's structure, if that makes sense. We all have different ways to perceive. This is the place where, when people die, this is where they will come for healing, to get ready for the next life. There's an education center, there's a healing center, there's a reception center to help you. And that's where you might meet with your counsel, if that's the way you want to think about it, to plot out those next steps in next life. And it's a place that people in one of our programs will go build their own little structure that they can go visit in meditation, but they also know when they transition from this life, they can go there. They have a target, you know, place to go.
That's very interesting because what you are now speaking about is what many people refer to as life between lives, which is where we transition to after physical death here. But what is especially interesting for me here is that this is also a place where people experiencing NDE go, but they are allowed to go to a certain point and then usually they are being given an option to either move forward and basically die or come back and be revived if, say, they were sick or had an accident, etc. So what I find curious is that in your system with that level 21, you say that people can go to that place and experience the teachings, meeting with the higher guides, etc., etc., and then come back. So where is that line that as a consciousness, you know, with our little C, we cannot cross because this will essentially be the point of no return? Is there such a point of no return in those journeys?
So first I want to say it's Focus 27. And the way you're asking that question is hard for me to answer because I would say, first I'm going to go with my belief, that as long as you're consciously in this body and you're very much alive, you know, you're not at a point of soon crossing over, then you can, I don't think there is a point.
Okay.
I don't think there is a point where you come back. Now, if you are having a near-death experience, that means your body is physically traumatized, basically dead for some period of time. So I can see why there needs to be a demarcation. Like, this is where you need to stop because you've got a decision to make. And a lot of those near-death experiences I've heard about, there usually is the choice, you know, the people get to decide. But I've also heard stories where they don't get a choice and they're very sad about it, you know. So, but I would say as long as you're you don't have to be robustly healthy, but as long as you're not in a near-death experience, then there's no demarcation. There's no line.
Thank you. And this makes perfect sense. Now, I understand that you are an energy healer. So do your courses and programs include energy healing?
Yes, we do teach or train energy medicine. That's something that we do, which is centered around the practice of Reiki. I'm a Reiki master teacher, so that's a course that's near and dear to my heart. And what we do is we use the support of the sound technology to assist. So it is a Monroe type delivery within the content.
Lovely, thank you. Now I'd like to ask you a bit more personal question, if I may. Would you like to share with us a couple of your own most outstanding or amazing or curious or otherwise unusual experiences from your own journeys into those various levels and experiences? Anything that stands out?
Yes, I can do that. One, when I was attending a program, I became aware and I was signing a contract. And so I said out loud in my head, "What am I signing?" And I heard a booming voice say, "It doesn't matter. You say yes to everything." I knew, I mean, I just knew from the very deepest parts of myself that I had committed to something that I didn't know what it was. And I think it was this job that I'm in now.
Ah, okay. So it wasn't revealed to you at that time.
No, And I would ask, you know, I'd get into meditation again and try to get more information, and it was just like a wall. And that's a good point. You don't, even though you are encouraged to ask questions, get information, it doesn't always come because the timing might not be right, or there's free will that needs to unfold before more information can be given. Another one that I haven't talked about much because it's really bizarre, but Bob Monroe talked about three locales when you had an out of body. So locale one would be when you were just here hanging out. Say that would be like you coming over saying, "Hey, I'm going to go to Alan's office and see what she's doing." And then you would come in and you would see me in my office working, and you'd call me later and go, "Hey, were you saying this on the phone to someone?" You know, so you were actually experiencing me doing something that I could confirm. And it's interesting when you're in locale one, it can still be energetically off. So you might say to me, "Well, Alan, why did you have your lamp upside down?" And I would go, "Well, I did say that on the phone to that person I was talking to, but my lamp was not upside down." You know, so there can be a little bit of distortion coming from the energetic interpretation. Does that make sense? And then locale two is going to be more of the cosmos. So I might go to Mars. I might go to the moon. I might find myself flying by a spaceship. So that's more of your locale two. Locale three is when you're in a whole nother world. In Bob Monroe's third book, I believe it was the third book, might have been the second, he found himself going to locale three and being part of this individual's personality and experiencing this individual's life. And it was certainly not Earth. And it was certainly not even in our, you know, it was because everything was different, like the way the buses were and the way the streets were and the way they functioned and the machinery. And I've had one of those, just one of those experiences. But it's funny though, when you do these kind of things, sometimes you might not always come back with something making sense or being meaningful. I still don't have a meaningful, interpretation of what I'm about to tell you. All I know is just how real it felt, and it met the definition of Bob Monroe's locale three. And so I find myself, and a lot of times when you have out of bodies, it won't be like the traditional out of body, the classic, where you see yourself, you know, coming out of the body, and you can turn around and, you know, see yourself in the bed. And then you know that you're shooting out the door, the window, the wall. More than not, it's where you just suddenly become aware that you're in this, that there's something else is going on. So that's what happened to me. So I find myself in, and I'm this person that's wearing a leather pantsuit. I'm standing on a stage, and I have a pole, but I wasn't doing a strip thing, but I just had a pole that I was using as a prop to dance.
That'll be interesting.
It was like a family, it was so bizarre. It was like a family place where families were eating dinner and there was a band performing, and then when the band would stop, I was supposed to dance. And so I would dance when the band would stop, but it wasn't inappropriate, you know, because it was children were there too. But I did have on a leather outfit, it was black leather. So I was, you know, I knew the rules, I knew what to do. And then after that was over, I said, "I'm gonna take a look outside and see, you know, because this just doesn't feel like Earth, you know, or this is very different." And so I opened the back door. And literally, when you're in these states, you can perceive it as real. Yeah, you know, I felt the doorknob. I opened the door. I looked out, and it was a bizarre, bizarre, bizarre world. It was not of this earth. That has no meaning for me, though. You know, I had the experience. I brought it back, and maybe that was just for me to experience locale three. So I could say I have. I don't know.
Well, I might think that there is a meaning for you somewhere there, and it could be as simple as making you aware of that other reality, whether it was your one of your past lives on another planet, in another galaxy, in another dimension, that for some reason your soul thought it might be good for you to experience, maybe just for fun.
Well, and I do like that I've had a locale three experience, so there's that. Another one I want to tell you about, it was not my experience, it was someone else's, but I was involved. So I was here at the Institute. I was providing the support for the professional division. And that's just where we have researchers and practitioners come in for a week. And we have one day where we will run meditations for them. So I'm in the control room, which is where we broadcast from. I was the trainer on site. And everyone's tucked away in their check units, which is where people meditate here at Monroe. And it's called a Control Holistic Environmental Chamber. That was Bob Monroe's acronym for it. So they're all tucked away. I'm broadcasting the meditation. And Fred Reibel, who is one of our trainers, he's actually attending. And all of a sudden, he finds himself out of body. It was not about an out-of-body exercise, but that, you know, the sound technology doesn't hold you back. So he found himself out of body. And he goes, what can I do? And so he goes, oh, I'll go check on my wife and my pet. So he goes to California. That's where they lived at the time, and checks on them. So he has a locale one experience. Then he goes, what can I do now? And he goes, oh, I'll go check on, he's a healer. So he works with people, Reiki and healing touch. And he had a cancer patient he was helping. So he went and checked on that person, saw that they were doing fine. And then he goes, what can I do now? He goes, I know, I'll go see Alan in the control room to see if she can see me. Now, I'm wide awake, right? I'm not meditating. So, but here's what's interesting. While I had started them on this meditation, we call it exercises, I had some technical difficulty. So I had called the maintenance department. And so at the same time that Fred has decided to come see me, the maintenance man is knocking on the door. Now, Fred, for some reason, doesn't see the maintenance person. He just knows he's standing at the door. The door opens. And because maintenance doesn't know if I'm on mic or not, meaning talking to the participants through the speaker, they don't, you know, we're trained not to say anything until we know a trainer's not on mic. So he slowly opens the door and then he goes like this to make sure I'm okay. And I go, and so I'm looking. So Fred's at the door. I do this, which means I turn to the door and I do a thumbs up. And that's what Larry had done to me. So Fred sees me do the thumbs up and he thinks I've seen him. So he is super excited and he journals all about it. He can't wait to come tell me after the meditation. And of course, I had to tell him I didn't see him, but I've told him what happened. But he, you know, again, it verified that he had been there with me in locale one because he saw exactly what I did. So, and a lot of people want shared experiences, which is a lot of fun.
Wow, interesting. And I also believe that a large number of people have shared dreams, like lucid dreaming. And they talk together, they do things together, then they both wake up the next day and they pick up their phone and say, hey, you know, I had a dream about you. Well, that's interesting because I had a dream about you. And then they realize that they were in the same dream. How does this happen?
I do not know. One of the mysteries of life. But we witness it all the time with participants here, and we hear story after story of that happening.
Okay, lovely. Alan, we have been speaking about some of the programs offered by the Institute, but I would like to invite you now to speak briefly to the legacy of Robert Monroe and what the Monroe Institute is about, and then what are your key mission and objectives?
So we believe, I think I can speak for all trainers, many, many participants, staff. We just know how helpful this tool has been in our lives. And it's not, you know, when I say tool, Monroe Sound Science, HemiSync, they are just that, tools. Bob Monroe would, if he were sitting here, he would say, I want you to use this until you kind of learn the steps. And then the idea is it's training wheels and you don't need it anymore. You know, you can access these territories without the support. Now, most people will tell you, yeah, I can, but I really like the stuff. So I'm going to keep using it for support. But it's because we see what it's done in our own lives. We see the power of it. So we have a very passionate group of people. I just had a call this afternoon with some of our outreach trainers who teach this, like the shorter programs in geographical areas. It's also virtual now. And the Monroe community group leaders who are holding small groups around the world for people to meditate together. And they're just a very passionate group of people because they've witnessed the personal changes in themselves. And it's really easy to start with. You don't have to pay one dime to start. And that would be through our Expand app, which you can find on Google Play or the Apple Store. It's called Expand. And you could even type in Monroe Institute and probably find it. And there's a free version of this, of the app, that gives you a good number of meditations that you could try, and just that could be a beginning for you. We have you and I were talking about OBEs, lucid dreaming, remote viewing, energy healing. The Gateway Voyage is our flagship. We have a lot of different topics and subject matters that we invite people to participate in if they're interested. We have things on the website that are very inexpensive, like a connecting to guidance I did with a trainer from England. That's a 3-hour product that you can get for, I don't know the price, but it's under $100 and gives you the meditation. So it's open to everybody. Anyone can do this and anyone can start it. And I highly recommend that you do. And especially those of you who say, I can't meditate. I've tried. It doesn't work. Because this is what the beauty of the sound technology is. It can help cut out decades of sitting in discipline training. And we had a monk come here in the 90s, and he was attended Gateway. And before it was all over, he said, you Americans, you figure out the shortcut to everything. And so the story goes that he loaded up his car with all these, at the time would have been tapes, to take back to the monastery to share with the other monks. But again, it's a way to get you really quickly into those theta states, like you're talking about, those deep meditative states that would take years of sitting to reach, possibly to reach on your own.
Yes, yes, thank you. I have titled this episode The Joy of Expanded Consciousness, as I really feel that that's perhaps the key benefit, like the underlying benefit. So could you, as your final thought to wrap up this conversation, could you speak to this? What is the joy of expanded consciousness?
So I think just it's a side benefit of all the things that you're doing. And what I'd said earlier when we just started talking, you know, it removes you from fear-based living. It allows you to trust more. Because you tap more into that we are all one, you become more accepting and tolerant. And you might even look at things that are irritating you or troublesome as less, you know, oh, this is good. It's helping me have new insights about myself. So I understand why it's happening. So you automatically will be more joyful when you're viewing the world from a different lens, because you're not taking it personally. When something happens that somebody does to you, you more likely will have the tendency to go, wow, that person's really hurting. not what'd she do to me, so it just it, and then you also another side benefit is it tends to get you to present moment living, and you don't even it's like you don't even have to try to do that. It these things just subtly unfold for you. And if you're not, if you're one of those people that are living, like you're hanging on to the past, you're just digging up all that past stuff, those pains, those hurts. And then you're looking for the you're always in the future. You're skipping here, you're skipping the here and now. And the more that we do these types of self-evolution type activities, it's just a natural byproduct. So when you're living in the here and now, there is more joy.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Fear is the future, past is pain and regret.
Thank you. That's a really lovely summary. Well, Alan, thank you so much for this beautiful conversation. And of course, I will include all the links to your online presence and the Institute in the show notes so that people can find you, contact you, and engage with your work. And it's been such a pleasure to have you on Quantum Living. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you. That's all for today, folks. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I would much appreciate if you could spare a moment and post a review on Apple Podcasts or on my website at quantumlivingpodcast.com, where you can also read the full show notes, guest info, reviews, and more. I'm your host, Anna Anderson. I look forward to connecting with you in the next episode of Quantum Living. Until then, keep your vibrations high and be well.